Well, the very clear theme from the readings today is God's call and our response. The first reading is fairly striking in terms of God's call on Samuel's life. And Samuel is consecrated to the Lord. He's special right from the beginning. And God is calling to him at night in a way that must have been an audible way, because he thought it was Eli, the priest, and went to see Eli. Eli helps him to know this is God. And I don't know if you've ever had God speak to you audibly. I certainly never have. And yet I've heard God speak so clearly that it might as well have been audible. I remember one time in particular, I heard God say, I was kneeling down in the chapel in my house, and I heard God say, give me your phone. And it was so like, whoa, that I literally pulled my phone out of my pocket and just dropped it in front of the... I knew he didn't mean like throw your phone on the ground, but like, give me your phone. And I was like, oh, okay, you can have it. I don't know if you've ever heard God in that way, but the Lord speaks often very subtly in the silence of our hearts. You may hear a complete sentence in your mind. It will often sound like you talking to yourself, except you know you didn't say that to yourself. You know it came from someone else. And sometimes it will be that you have a sense of peace about something or a sense of joy about something. Maybe you have a desire to do something that's not a natural thing you would naturally want to do, and yet you have a great desire for that. That could be an indication that it's God's voice calling you. And then again, God will speak to you the way that he spoke to Samuel, which is very personally calling you by name, although I'm not saying he will say your name, but you will know this is to you, and this is right now, and this is God speaking, and it's as though I hear his voice resounding in my head. I suppose you might hear God's voice resounding in your ears, but I don't think that's what you want to look for. And there will be times also where I suppose you could say it isn't uncommon to hear God's voice resounding in your ears when it's another person through whom God is speaking to you. So if you look at the gospel, Peter is called first by Andrew. Andrew says, "We found the Messiah." And so sometimes God uses another person in your life, like Eli, to help you discern that you're hearing God's voice. Sometimes he uses another person in your life, like Andrew, to tell you, I'm telling you, I just met Jesus, and you need to come and see. But God has a call on each and every one of our lives. And that word for call, the Latin word is vocare, which means to call. It's where we get the word vocation. Sometimes we think about a vocation in terms of certain jobs, that they're really callings, or that this person has a real calling to this job. Sometimes it's a specific task that God called you to. God called you to do sidewalk counseling outside of Planned Parenthood. That could be a calling. God called you to do... God called my mom and dad to adopt 3 kids. They felt God was calling them to do that, so they did. Jim Caviezel talks about he wanted to be a baseball player, but God called him to be an actor. You know, you wouldn't think, God's calling me to Hollywood, you know? It's a big sacrifice, but he did. He can call you to do that. And you also, and some of those callings, some of the ways in which God calls us may be as simple as, how does God want me to serve him today? He wants me to talk to this person, there could be so many different things. But some callings are a permanent state in life that you commit to for your whole life. And like marriage, like priesthood, and like religious life. Now, God called Samuel to a special mission. Samuel was the prophet that was leading Israel. He was the prophet through whom God would speak to Israel. He shepherded his people through Samuel. Samuel gave guidance, that gave the expectations of God, helped people to know what they should do, helped people to know how they should live. He was a shepherd. And without him, Israel would have been lost, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, what happens to sheep that just wander around from pasture to pasture aimlessly with no guidance? Sooner or later, what happens to them? They get eaten. Something will eat them. And that's what would have happened to Israel if it weren't for the fact that God called Samuel. Samuel was coached by Eli to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then we don't know all of the rest of the story, except we do as Samuel's years as a prophet. And God is calling young men to the priesthood right now. Right now, he's calling young men to be shepherds, because his people need shepherds. There's this famous verse in the Old Testament that I'm sure you've heard before. God says, "I myself will give them shepherds. I will give them shepherds after my own heart." That he promises that he will have these men who will be able to lead his people, to hear what God is saying and to lead his church. And he's calling young men to the priesthood. He's calling young men to do that. And some men are listening and hearing and answering and saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And some young men aren't yet, but maybe they will. Now, I don't know who those men are, because this is the thing. Only God knows what your calling is. No one else can call you to the priesthood except him. And God's calling young women to consecrated and to the religious life. But only he can do the calling. And he's calling young men and women to marriage in the way that builds up the kingdom of God. Not in the way that the world sees marriage, but in the way that builds up the kingdom of God. But the question is, will we, in all of these ways in which God will call to us, will we have the same mentality as Samuel? "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Or as the psalm says, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will," which is what a servant does. And I think that this is the most important preoccupation that we could, it's the healthiest preoccupation that we could have, is what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? What does he want me to do? Because God actually has a plan for your life. And that's not just true if you're 12 or 15. It's true at any age. God has a plan for your life. And I remember when I was 15, I really, 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 really wanted to know God's will. I thought it was going to be the hardest thing in the world to get that out of him, for him to tell me, "What do you want me to do? What's your will? What do you want me to do?" It was a preoccupation. And I realized later, God wants me to know his will more than I want to know it. But it did require that willingness to say, my plans really don't hold sway here. So I wanted God's will for my life. I pursued it. I wanted to know what his plan was. And then when I started to hear him speak, I thought, oh no, wait. Oh no, not that. Let's not do that. And I was afraid when God called me to the priesthood. At first, I was not excited, let's say. That was not what I was thinking. This would be great. You know what would be great is if I was a priest. No. I was actually afraid. But and so if you ever feel afraid by whatever God might be calling you to do, just know this. Most of our greatest joys in life are on the other side of some of our greatest fears. And saying yes to Jesus, even though there's fear, brings greater joy than if you didn't have to overcome that in the first place. That's part of how we're wired or how we're redeemed. I don't know, but it's a thing. So fear will be, Jesus says, do not be afraid, because he knows there will be fear as part of our lives, but we don't have to be ruled by it. We can say yes to him anyway. Now, if if you really believe that God has a plan for your life and that he has a plan for your children and your grandchildren, you're going to talk about God's plan. You're going to talk about vocations. You're going to talk about, hey, have you thought about the priesthood? Now, I would caution all parents, please be careful how you talk about this with your children, especially in one sense, that there needs to be great freedom. And I'm so glad my parents did not want me to be a priest. They did not want me to be a priest. In fact, as I've shared with you before, my dad was kind of against the idea when I told him I was going to break up with my girlfriend in college. And as I've, and I quote, he said, and I quote, "Are you sure you don't want to marry this woman? Because there's not going to be another woman like her who's interested in you." And I knew he was right. I knew it was true in the moment. It was like, well, am I really sure God is calling me to celibacy and to the priesthood? And the answer was, well, I knew celibacy. At that point, I didn't know priesthood yet. But I was sure. I was sure. It was God's call. And I love that my parents didn't have this specific path that I had to follow. They wanted me to follow the Lord. And they wanted me to be happy. And that's what gave me freedom, to hear God and not other people's expectations. Or because I was a pretty sensitive kid, if you put 2 ounces of pressure on the scale, it would have felt like 1 billion pounds to me. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't talk about this sort of thing at home. Absolutely you should. Well, what do you think God's calling you to? Have you ever thought about priesthood? No, Dad, I don't want to do that. Oh, okay, fine. You know, the only time, and I think we should be a little bit more free to ask someone, hey, are you thinking about priesthood or no? I mean, not in a pushy way. Just, I'm just curious. I see you. One time I've shared with you, I think, the only time I was ever asked if I thought about priesthood was after I was a priest. And I was kneeling down, I think it was before or after Mass, and it was on my day off, and so I was wearing like a t-shirt and jeans, and I'm praying in church, and this sweet lady comes up to me and says, "Have you thought about priesthood?" I just said, yes, I have. Actually, I am a priest. And she's, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Father. You look like you're in college or something." I was like, "Thank you very much." And God used that in his own way with something else, which was really, really interesting as well. But I really think that sort of a thing is okay. It's okay, and it's okay to talk about. It's normal to talk about. It should be normal to talk about. One of the things about faith and about God and about knowing Jesus that is really actually important in our formation is that when this stuff is real to us, we talk about it like it's normal. And if we don't really believe it, or if it's not really real to us, we don't really ever talk about it like it's a normal thing. It should be a normal dinner time conversation that God has a plan for you and that his will is the most important thing. That is what we should be concerned about, the divine will. You might hear that more in coming weeks. The divine will. What is God's will? That's what we pray in every Our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he has a will. He has a desire for you. He has plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11. You know that? What does it say? Who knows it? Say it. Do you know it? Is it loaded for you? Yeah, amen. Thank you. If you didn't hear that, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Or a future filled with hope, depending on the translation. He has plans for you. What is God's will? What is God's plan? That's a decently healthy preoccupation. It's true that we can be way too concerned about it to where we don't just do the thing in front of us, but that's pretty rare. we just do whatever we want most of the time, or whatever is in front of us, without thinking about, praying about, or talking about, what does God want? Where is this going? And at the end of our lives, when we come before the Lord on Judgment Day, what does the Bible say Jesus will say to those who enter heaven? Well done, good and faithful. If we're serving the Lord, it's here am I, Lord. I come to do your will. It's speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. He tells us we're his sheep and we know his voice. He tells us that he's going to speak to us and call us by name. He tells us he has a plan to give us a future filled with hope. He has plans for our lives. He tells us all of these things because he wants us to listen to them. And he wants us to trust in them. And he wants us to respond to them. And to say with Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is listening.